Good morning. Welcome to New Hope. Welcome back if you're a member. Welcome if you're a first timer. Welcome. We are glad you're here with us to worship. Let's stand and sing together.
There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of the gospel song. Oh, won't you choose it? Thank you. search the depths of me and love me to the core. Who controls the world I see and walks me through it all?
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Open wide, forgive.
Amen. Can we give Jesus praise? Hallelujah. Amen.
What an awesome worship team. I'm so thankful to worship the Lord with them and you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we get ready for this morning's message. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and our hearts are full of joy. Father, we love being in your presence and worshiping you. Father, we just pray that you would just challenge us, grow us in your word, Father, that we would walk out of here and live it out. And truly be the gospel wherever we go in our workplaces, our neighborhoods, Father. And Father, we know that there's many that are sick right now. So Father, we just ask for healing over them. Father, that you'd restore them and be building them up and strengthening them right now. So Father, we ask your power and your might that you would just do that, God. You are incredibly good. We look to you for strength and for wisdom from your Holy Spirit. God, move on us this morning. We thank you for your word that sharpens us. And Father, we want to live by your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's go ahead and be seated this morning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and pull them out. We're going to be in Luke chapter 14 this morning. We were in Luke chapter 14 last week as well. We were kind of at the end of the passage. Now we're going to be towards the beginning. We're going to be starting in verse 7 this morning as we kind of look at this idea of what it means to be invited to the banquet table, okay? And so this incredible invitation, I got to tell you, meals are really at the center of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. One of the theologians were pointing out that in the Gospel of Luke, it seems like, you know, Jesus was always on the way to a meal, on the way back from a meal, or at a meal. And so they were central. And so a lot of us are saying, hey, I can follow a Savior like that, you know, that's got the food thing down, and we're kind of digging in a little bit. But also I want to point out to you, Jesus was pretty good at getting in his steps as well, you know. And he was sometimes even sent them ahead in the boat and said, I will walk across the water to get there. So he was good at getting his exercise in as well. But hey, who doesn't love the words, let's dig in, you know? You know, when it's time to eat, when you're ready to eat, say, let's eat. I remember a lot of times when I was, with my grandparents, a lot of times I'd go to Harvest and help them out in the summer. And at the end of a hardworking day, they'd say, let's eat. And you couldn't wait, you know. It didn't matter if that was, the best bologna sandwich with a little bit of lettuce, a little bit of mayonnaise. You could ready to kind of dig in. But there are times when you're not so sure you want to hear the words, let's eat. I got to tell you, Catherine and I went on a mission trip when we were newlyweds, and we went on a two-week mission trip to Honduras. And it's this little island in Honduras. We had a great time, but when we said, let's eat, you never knew what was going to be there, okay? And so I was always trying to be polite, and she stayed to the rice, and I was like, you got to try whatever they put in front of you. Well, let me tell you, that conch soup, it can kind of tear you up a little bit. So lost a lot of weight on that mission trip, but you want to hear this idea of let's eat, let's dig in. And coming to the table is not just about fulfilling hunger, okay? It's really about connections and relationship, and that's what happens. You want to get to know somebody, you say, hey, let's go have a meal together. Let's go to lunch together. Let's grab coffee together, because then you're really having engagement with them, and there shares intimacy. And I got to tell you, there was a study done a number of years ago, but there was a study done by Harvard Medical Study that said, you know, how the importance of children eating with their parents, okay? And so it said children that are eating with their parents are considerably healthier. And it said 72% are less likely to experience depression, struggling with self-esteem, eating disorders. So it's incredibly important to have people to ask questions, what's going on in your life, kind of diving into your world, because relationships and meals are just that important. And today, Jesus is making an invitation. He's saying, come to the banquet table. And so that's where I want you to know, this invitation is for all of us. No matter where you're at, it's for all of us. For those of you that don't know Jesus Christ and just, you know, been checking him out, that's an invitation for you. For those of you that maybe you're ashamed of your past and you're running from the Lord today. You know the Lord, but you're running from him. I want you to know this is an invitation back into the fellowship with the body of Christ and with Jesus Christ today. And so this is an invitation for all of us. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of us that live in maybe some shame, or maybe of the past, of what things have gone on. And I want you to know, this invitation is for you. I got to tell you, I talked with someone this last week. I was talking with them, and we were texting back and forth, and this person said, you know what, I don't know if I'll ever be back to church. I'm so ashamed of what I've done in my life. Well, I'm telling you, friend, this invitation is for all of us today to come to the banquet table. And that's what he's offering and extending to each one of us today as we're diving in. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 14, we're going to start off in verse 7. If you got verse 7 there, this is what it says. We're going to dive in here. It says, now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you're invited to someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And when he who invited you both will come and say to you, give the place to that person. Then you'll begin to have a shame and take the lowest place. Verse 10, it says this. It says, but when you're invited, go and sit at the lowest place, that when the host comes to you, he may say to you, friend, hey, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, we're going to continue on, but we're going to come back to this passage because it just sounds like really good advice, kind of good social advice, right? Because when you're going to a place, it's not good to walk in and just take the place of honor, right? If you do, sometimes it's kind of embarrassing. And I got to tell you, you know, I've done a lot of weddings, and it's an honor to do a lot of weddings. It's fun to do those weddings, and I'm actually marrying next weekend my nephew and his wife to be, and it's a very exciting time. But the thing is, you realize as a pastor, sometimes you get a little bit, you know, like I'm kind of important to this deal. You got the wife, and you got the bride and the groom, and then you got to have the pastor, right, to do this. Well, you know, after the ceremony, you've done the wedding, and you kind of go to the reception, I got to tell you, I've learned to sit in the back first, because if you sit up front, they're like, oh, no, that's my, you know, close family, and that's my distant family, and then that's my close friends, and that's my distant friends, and then you kind of find your seat in the back, you know, and because if you have to move, it's pretty embarrassing, right? It's kind of the walk of shame, right? You're like, oh, sorry, I was, you know, in your seat there, but you want to avoid that. So it seems like this is just good social advice, but there's going to be a connection here that we're going to come back to as well. And we're going to go on to verse 15. If you have your Bibles, chapter 14, verse 15, it says this, but when one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. I just want you to hear that again. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Verse 16, but he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. Now here is, I don't know what your view of heaven is like. Maybe it's like, you know, pretty boring. You got robes on and kind of the harp playing and you're like, this is going to be kind of boring. Well, I'm telling you, this is what he compares it to, a great banquet. Okay, so, you know, Jesus, this is the imagery he gives us. What was the first miracle that Jesus does in the book of John? John 2, he does this miracle of at a wedding feast, right? And he says, hey, you know, we're out of the good wine. Can Jesus go make some water into wine? And yeah, he can make it into the best wine. So, I mean, he's throwing, it's kind of foreshadowing this idea that he is really trying to restore the eternal banquet that God has created for us. And it is going to be full of joy. It is going to be full of laughter, food and drink, and it's going to be incredible. I want you to know everything we're experiencing here, the worship and the you know, teaching and the friendship and the fellowship of the body, it's just like the appetizer. It's just like the hors d'oeuvres for what we're going to experience in heaven, and it's going to be great. I cannot wait, okay, friends? It's going to be good. Verse 17, let's keep going. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Now, I want you to know what happened here is when somebody would throw a big banquet or a big party and they were wealthy, they would send out two invitations, okay? So they couldn't exactly time it down because of travel and when they didn't have cell phones. And so you didn't know how long it would take someone to travel. So they would send out a first invitation that would say, save the date. It's generally happening this week of the year, okay? And then they would say, once everyone was there and things were ready and the place was set up, they would send a second invitation that says, now everything is ready. So come on, it's time. So this parable, I got to tell you, this is a bunch of people in this parable that first responded, yes, we will come to the wedding, come to the banquet. But now they're going to see a bunch of excuses. So verse 18, we'll continue on. It says, they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it, so please have me excused. So the first person says, I bought a field, okay? I don't know how many people dish out a ton of cash for a piece of property and have not seen it, okay? So you're like, this is ridiculous, you know? But also, friend, it's also a piece of dirt, right? So it's going to be there in 2 weeks. So you could go a little bit later, right? They could put it off a little bit and go check it out later, but that's not what they said. No, I need to go check out this property I just purchased. Verse 19 says this, and another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. Now I have to go examine them. Okay, it's kind of like the first one. That's a pretty lavish expense. 1 yoke of oxen would have cost a half a year's salary. So this is 2.5 years of salary. Who puts out 2.5 years of salary in order to not even expect what kind of oxen that you got, right? I mean, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't, you know, if we're going to get a new car, we're going to go, we're going to smell it, we're going to look at it, we're going to, you know, make sure it's, you know, doesn't have all the scratches, things like that. You don't just kind of dish out that money and then go see what you actually ended up getting. Okay, so verse 20, another excuse, and another one said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come right now. Obviously, that's the last thing your new spouse would like to do is go get dressed up and go dancing and have a nice meal, right? I mean, are you kidding me? Of course. You know, my wife and I, when we started out, we were dirt poor. I mean, we were just like, you know, going to rent the movies at the library. And, you know, if somebody invited us to a meal and it was not ramen, we were absolutely going to be there, right? We were like, sign me up, you know? And so that's an invitation. And so, you know, we would absolutely. So these excuses are pretty weak. They're really just pretty ridiculous. So we go on, and it says in verse 21, so the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house came and became angry, and he said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. A couple things that are kind of shocking about this. First of all, the people that said yes, that they were going to come, that they were, you know, they didn't show up. They made excuses and didn't come. The second thing that's even more shocking is that this guy is a wealthy guy, and he fills up his house with the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Friends, this just didn't happen in this time, okay? And so here he says in verse 22, we continue on, and then the servant said to him, sir, I've done what you've said, but there's still room. Verse 23, and the master said to the servant, go out now to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. Okay, this is absolutely mind-boggling at this point. I mean, Jewish culture would have said, no way, do not even approach those people. The people in the highways and the hedges, they were outside of town for a reason. Because they weren't allowed in. Nobody wanted to welcome them. Nobody wanted to invite them in. Okay, they weren't just poor. They were kind of rough life, okay? They were threatening in some way, or they were misfits. And these were, now he's saying, hey, Jesus is saying, bring them on in. Fill up my house with all of them. That's what he's saying. That's the invitation we have to the banquet. Verse 24, it says, for I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Now, do you notice here that Jesus, all of a sudden, he was telling this story like it's just a story, and then he gets real personal. He goes into first person. He says, for I tell you, none of these men who are invited shall taste my banquet. Why? Because the people right in front of him were the ones that were he was talking to. They were the ones that were making the excuses, you know? And this parable kind of summarizes Israel's response to God. God, you know, says, you know, I have invited them and they have accepted my invitation, but now when Jesus invites them to follow him, they're making up all these excuses. And that's what often happens. And it leads right into the passage we talked about last week where he compares. He says, what's your love for me like? Is it like, you know, your love should, for the Lord Jesus should be so strong that it's almost like hatred towards the other relationships in your life. So this morning, I'm going to give you just three points that talk to us about why good people miss the banquet, miss the invitation into the kingdom of God. And the first one is this, I want you to know, is that some people miss the banquet because they fail to recognize that the importance of this invitation should trump everything. You know, these excuses weren't necessarily bad or evil in themselves, but they were bad in comparison to what the offer was. They had an incredible offer, and they're making up these excuses. And maybe even some of these excuses were legitimate. You know, maybe you're like, okay, the guy really needed to go check out his oxen and see if they were, you know, really legit and good and healthy and strong, or maybe he needed to get them to work. And maybe, you know, the guy who just got married really needed to spend some time with his wife. But and compared to the importance of the invitation that they're getting from this royal person, you know, it doesn't even compare. And so the question is, how important do we view this invitation that Jesus is making to each one of us today? Because sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes I'll be in my office or, you know, and I'll get a call. And maybe I'm just, you know, focused on the message or preparing or, and I just say, I don't have time for that right now. Or maybe I'm out with pastors and someone needs to get a hold of me. And I say, just a moment, I got to, you know, spend some time finishing this up. But let me tell you, if someone calls in, like, you know, the fire department calls in and says, your house is on fire, or my wife calls in and says, okay, it's time, the baby's coming, guess what? Those excuses pale in comparison, right? You absolutely know this invitation is the most important thing, and that's the invitation that we have right now. So how important is this invitation from God to you? How do you look at it? How do you examine it in your life? Because I got to tell you, Catherine and I had the opportunity about 15 years ago to go on. We went to London, and we got to go to see the Royal Palace and the Buckingham Palace, and we got to see the family jewels. It's just amazing. And I know they're having a lot of drama right now, but imagine being invited by the Queen to this royal wedding. Well, let me tell you, I looked up what the invitation looks like, and this is what it says. So imagine your name, the Lord Chamberlain, has commanded by the Queen to invite you, George Bocox, to this wedding. Well, I gotta tell you, no matter what the, you know, excuses are, you know, my car, you know, the lawn needs mowed, the oxen need to be checked out, whatever, I'm going to that, right? You're going to accept that invitation. Well, friend, I gotta tell you, the Lord Jesus was commanded by the sovereign God to extend to you an invitation to his banquet. That's the good news. And this invitation, I got to tell you, is so incredibly important and valuable. It's for lost people to be found. It's for broken people to be healed and put back together. It's for people that are struggling with addictions to realize that you can be set free in Jesus Christ. It's those people that are lonely and going through a season of depression to be encouraged and be in the body and to celebrate. People filled with shame and regret and pain to now realize that you can have hope in Jesus Christ. This is an incredible invitation, and it should triumph over any other invitation that we have today. I got to tell you, some people say, you know, is this really the Word of God? Is this really important to us as Christians? And I got to tell you, friend, it should be. There was a story about an atheist professor that would always ask his freshman class, okay, how many of you would say you're Christians? And a bunch of hands would go up, and they'd say, how many of you believe that God's word, the Bible, is true and the authority and really from God? And they would say, all the hands would go up. How many of you have read the Bible? And then just a few hands would go up. And then he would say, how many of you have read all the Harry Potter books? And almost all the hands would go up. And he would say, well, now I don't think you believe it's true because you haven't read it. And friend, I got to tell you, we have to consider this. What if it's really true? The danger isn't just for those that say, I don't think that there is a God. It's for the, I don't think that there is a God and I don't really care. That's the danger. So dig into it and ask the questions of it, friend. And say, you know, because the Bible tells us, talks about eternity. And it talks about we're going to spend eternity in one of two places, friends. It talks about heaven. And it talks about unimaginable pleasure and bliss. It's going to be incredible. And he also talks about a real place called hell. And he talks about it's full of anguish and torment. And he's not telling us as kind of just to nail us to it. He's telling us because he loves us. He's warning us that this is true. It's real. So what if Jesus really went to the cross? And what if he really died for your sins? And what if it is true that he is the only way, the truth, and the life, that there's no other way to come except through Jesus Christ? What if that's true? You got to consider that. So we have to understand the invitation is so important. So do you consider it as important today? The second point is this. Some people miss the banquet because they feel so unworthy. You know, the story that he was sharing here was in front of a lot of rich and powerful people. And they would have been absolutely blown away. Wait a second, the invitation is now to the poor, the blind, the outcast. That's who you're filling your home with? That would have been, you know, incredible. But that's who Jesus is inviting here. And a lot of us, you know, wonder, you know, is that true for me as well? Do I need to earn my place into this house at the banquet table? Do I have to earn my spot? Because I think that's almost instinctive in a lot of us, that we have to earn a little bit to be good in God's sight. How many of you have ever been to a potluck dinner? Some of you been to a potluck dinner? Okay, we love potluck dinners, okay? They have a lot of church, and, you know, you've been to them. Okay, if you went to a potluck dinner and you forgot to bring something, how do you feel? You don't feel very good as you're walking through, right? You're like, I should have brought something to eat. Oh, we're not going to eat. I got to tell you, though, when I was in college, I didn't make anything, and I showed up to every one of those potluck meals. And I was like, bring it on. I didn't feel guilty. I'd walk through. And then guess what? I got married. And Catherine's like, oh, no, we're not going unless we brought something. You know, in order to, you know, be blessed, we have to bring something to this meal. And, you know, sometimes if you do go through, you kind of now I've learned to be sheepish. And, you know, I'm sorry I didn't bring anything. I'm sorry I didn't bring anything. Because we feel we have to earn it, right? That's what we think. But I got to tell you, that's not how it works. It may be good social manners to bring something, okay, to the potluck meal. But that's not true with God, because there's literally nothing we can bring to the banquet. There is our righteousness, it says in scriptures, like filthy rags, okay? There's nothing. Friend, I got to tell you, in this passage, we are the poor, the blind, the crippled, and the lame. We are the highway people, you know, and that's maybe where you find yourself today. Well, I want to tell you, yes, God has invited you to the banquet. And he doesn't expect you to bring anything. There's nothing you can bring of value or of worth. And friend, that's the gospel. That's what the gospel is, that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And he literally paid our debt, and then he gave us his righteousness. And it's an invitation. And in this passage we just read today, there's four invitations over and over and over to come. So friend, I got to tell you, if you're poor and you are wandering today, come to the table. Maybe you're, you know, just afraid and discouraged, come to the table. Maybe you felt like a little bit left out and you've fallen away and you feel like you've made some mistakes and you're struggling with your past. Friend, come to the table, the banquet table. That's the invitation to you today, this morning. Accept that invitation. Realize we're all unworthy and we need His grace. And the point number three is this, is that some of us miss the banquet because we sometimes refuse to acknowledge that we are unworthy. Really, this point is kind of the opposite of point number two. Point number two, they assumed they were too unworthy to come to the table. And now Jesus points out that a lot of people miss the party because they refuse to acknowledge that they are also unworthy. You know, and they just didn't take Jesus serious. And this happens with a lot of people that kind of think, you know what, I can keep it together. I look pretty good. I've got God's salvation. I've been doing things right. I've been working my way. And that's what we do, is we kind of look good on the outside. And we substitute religious acts for genuine faith. And that's dangerous, friend. We cannot earn our place with God. You know, we have to surrender to His authority. We have to surrender our lives and submit to Him and receive Him as our Lord and Savior. And it takes humility to acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I am, you know, one of those that are truly on the outcast, on the edges. And so that's the gospel, that we have no worthiness, right? And a lot of times the churches today are trying to say, hey, make yourself better, clean yourself up, look a little bit happier. But that's not the true gospel. The gospel is that we have no worthiness. We are but filthy rags. We are the poor and the blind and the diseased and the sick. And yes, God created us, absolutely, and He loves us and He sees us as precious in His sight. And that's why He rescued us. He saved us. As you put your faith and surrender in to Him and the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 5 says that only the poor in spirit would receive His message. Well, I got to tell you, there's poor in spirit, and there's kind of like middle class in spirit. And middle class in spirit say, you know what, I've done quite a bit of good. Yes, I've made mistakes. Yes, I've sinned, but I've done quite a bit of good too. And so I've kind of got it together. I'm not such a terrible person. But the poor in spirit is saying, yeah, I've done some good things, but even those good things I've done are with wrong motives, with dangerous motives. And so there's really nothing good in me. And so that's what we're kind of seeing today. So I want to tie back in that passage, that good advice early on in verse 7. We're kind of ready to kind of recognize what that was. So Jesus started this parable, kind of this random advice, but the importance of taking the low place, taking the place in the back. And I got to tell you, friend, it's only if you're willing to take the low place. So that's admitting that you're the poor, the blind, the lame, the crippled. Then He will call you up to the high place, okay? At the place of honor at His banquet table. And if you deserve, you know, it's not that you think you might deserve the high place, well, then you will be humiliated. You'll take the walk of shame to the low place. That's what He's saying here. Because the gospel, it's just not a reward for those that think that they are righteous in the high place. The gospel is that Jesus is the only one that deserved the high place and the place of honor. But He voluntarily took on Himself the low place and offered to us that position at the table. And He traded places with us. That's the only way the gospel can be received, in humility, as we surrender to Him. So friends, this whole series has been talking about, what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you ready to go all in? Well, friend, He's offering. He's saying, come to the table. Do you see that invitation as incredibly important? Are you willing to respond and surrender to Him and go all in? And that's what I'm asking us to do, the body of New Hope. Let's surrender. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Would you close? Lord, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your word. And Father, we pray that we would just surrender to You. Father, as we look through the book of Luke, it's been incredible reminders of what it looks like to follow Jesus. And Lord, we want to be followers of You and being hope and light and salt and light in this world. And Father, You call us to, there's going to be a cost, and we know that, Father. And this cost is going to cost us somewhere in this world. We're going to be saying, we got to turn around and follow you, even though it's hard and difficult. But Lord, we have eternity. We have a banquet that is waiting for us. And Father, this invitation, help us to respond to you today and say, Lord Jesus, I'm all in. I'm not going to put this off any longer. I want to surrender my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And I believe that it's true, Lord Jesus. We want to surrender to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we close in worship. Yes, he does love us. We are thankful for his grace and his goodness this morning. And I just want to let you know, after the service, we don't have to stack the site because we have Awana Awards this week. And so we're thankful. I want to encourage you, if you want to, we were able to go to the mobile unit afterwards and take a quick tour through there. It's a really great resource to provide for our community. Hear the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Have a blessed week.